You're listening to the Boogeyman's Closet podcast. Explicit language and spoilers ahead. You've been warned. And we are back for yet another episode of the Boogeyman's Closet. As always, I am Mike Alvarez.
Silver.
Susie Hunt.
And we have a guest joining us today.
Matthew LeMay.
Thank you for joining us, Matt. This is we're continuing our alien horror with episode 90, Killer Clowns from Outer Space. It's from 1988. Another one from 1988. They Live was also 88. So two in a row. It's an hour and 28 minutes, and it's one of the rare PG-13 horror movies that we're always talking about, how you have the horror fans out there going, all PG-13 horror sucks. And then you have the other ones like me and Maurice that are like, it can be really awesome, though. Like, we've gotten into those arguments with people.
No, but this movie sucks.
Oh, well, we're going to have words. Let's go around the table. We got a little taste of what Maurice thinks. Matt, as you're our guest, we'll start with you. What do you think of this flick?
Honestly, I love this movie, or I did, until I had to watch it critically yesterday. And I have no idea why I like this so much. The acting is terrible, but, like, honestly, it's just one of those movies that, you know, those feel-good movies, if you will. There's a lot of visual, you know, things that, you know, the clowns themselves bring me in, you know, just everything about it is fun to watch, even though it's, you know, shitty plot line and shittier acting. But, you know, I'm on the fence on it. You know, I love it because it is one of those, you know, classics go to, you know, whenever I'm bored, I'll watch it if I see it. And yesterday just kind of killed it for me. Not going to lie, guys.
Well, that's not good. Well, Maurice, what do you think since you already gave us that little preview?
Well, I mean, as a movie to put on because, you know, the characters look cool. Yeah, it's a good movie for that reason, but it sucks. I mean, this, like Matt said, the story's terrible. There's no plot. I mean, there's it goes all over the place. The acting is god awful. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't make sense. I can understand the point of a clowns in a tent, but when you put it in the middle of nowhere,
yeah,
it's kind of obvious, like, it doesn't belong there. Mm-hmm. And then just some of the things they say throughout it. Oh my God, we're in a UFO. Oh no, he said we're in the shooting star.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my goodness. But I do make a connection, surprisingly, to Star Wars.
Oh.
When I first walk into that, like, shaft part,
mm-hmm.
it does look like the Death Star part where Luke and Darth Vader fight.
Right. I was thinking the section where Obi-Wan is, like, sabotaging the Death Star.
Yeah.
I had that same thought.
But it's the corridor where Luke swings off or across the thing with his belt holding Leia.
Yes. But yeah, overall, terrible movie. I probably like it for nostalgia reasons. Watching it critically just confirmed what I always thought. That wasn't a great movie, but the character design is pretty cool. I'll give it that.
Reese, what do you think about the soundtrack on this one?
I love the Dickey song. I forgot to mention that.
Yes.
That's the best part about the movie. I totally forgot. See, I was so entrenched in my hatred for the for the story that I forgot about the awesome Dickey song. But yes, I love the Dickey song.
It's such a good song.
Yes, it is.
I'd say that's on several of my playlists. It's just so silly.
Which one is that?
What, the Killer Clowns from Outer Space song by Dickies?
Oh, the opening one?
Yeah, the theme song.
Oh, nice. I didn't know who that was by, honestly.
Oh, but, yeah, no, that's the Dickies.
Like, I love the guitar riff on that, and then, like, just the singing kind of ruins that song for me a little bit. I don't like the guy's voice, you know, but the synthesizer, like, music throughout this movie brings me back, you know, to a lot of nostalgia. So,
you're attacking me, and he's... You should get on him for attacking the Dickies.
I know. I'm over here going, oh, blasphemy. I love the Dickies. Actually, me and Maurice have discussed this a couple of times. That was it 99, the Offspring Americana tour?
Yeah, it was Offspring lit and the Dickies opened up.
Yeah, and I remember we didn't even know each other at the time.
No, we didn't know each other. We talked about it years later.
Yeah, we were both in the pit, like, right up front in front of the stage, and when the Dickies were playing, like, it was me, Maurice, and, like, a couple of old guys that were excited right up in front of the stage.
Pretty much.
It was like, oh, I was so excited when I got to see them live.
Kind of like the first time No Doubt came in 96, me and my brother went, but we went because the opening bands were Civ and the Vandals.
Oh, nice. Oh, I love the Vandals. But let's toss it over to Susie and see how you think of it, or what you think of this movie.
This is what I would characterize as a horribly awesome movie. It isn't good. I do agree that the characters, the clowns themselves, were very well done. This is another one Shane watched with me. His takeaways are: this soundtrack is way better than any John Carpenter movie he's ever seen. I told him he's lucky that we've already gotten married. And he also asked me, I don't think seriously, but I don't know sometimes. He goes, are you going to have nightmares tonight? Because I am really, really afraid of clowns. Mm-hmm. This movie is really, I really think it's just nostalgic because I remember seeing this movie when I was really young. I mean, come on, it's got an old man with a hound dog.
Good old Farmer Gene Green.
Walking with his shovel and a bucket like his little hobo pack to go find the circus tent or to go find the shooting star. Because what in tarnation? He's hilarious. Like his dialogue really just like sets the tone for the movie for how ridiculous it's going to be. Mm-hmm. And when... It's 80s fashion. I mean, you have a mullet. You got puppet shows and gazebos. You got shadow puppets.
You got the punk rockers.
You got punk rockers. You got a biker gang. You got tricycles. You get fireworks. And I mean, you got a real fucking dickhead in Mooney who definitely gets his comeuppance.
Yep.
I mean, I just think that it's a horrible movie, but I still can enjoy it for what it is. And I agree though, it was hard to watch this critically because I like it. My mom loves this movie. I used to have it on VHS, and when I still lived at home, she would say, I would say, do you want to watch a movie? She's like, yeah, you want to watch Killer Clowns from Outer Space? So my mom has probably watched this movie with me a handful of times too. But I haven't seen this probably in, like, I would say at least 20 years.
Oh, man. See, now, for me, I think I'm going to be odd man out because the name on this film alone gives me the right tone for the film. Like, I go into it expecting the bad acting, the cheese, like, the cheesy special effects, the utter ridiculousness from start to finish. It's very much, like, I love it on the same level I love Basket Case. You can't take this film seriously even a little bit. And because of that, like it's upfront about its stupidity, I just have a blast with it from start to finish. I watch this one all the time. In fact, when I got the Oculus for Christmas, one of the first movies that I watched in virtual reality was Killer Clowns from Outer Space. So it's just a silly fucking movie. And I have to credit this movie with getting me over my fear of clowns as a child. Because I saw Poltergeist way too young. And the clown strangling scene scared the shit out of me. So pretty much every clown after that really freaked me the fuck out. And then I saw this movie, and it was so absurd and so silly that it got me over my fear of clowns pretty damn quick, even though they were eating people. But it still got me over the fear of clowns pretty damn quick. And I think it was partially because of the designs. Like, oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, did you just fear cotton candy after that?
I've never been comfortable with cotton candy. But
what about popcorn? Can we talk about popcorn?
the popcorn babies. But
wait till we get to that part.
The thing, the designs, not only just of the clowns, but like the set designs, the look of the interior of the spaceship, the fun house, like all those crazy cutouts that are like the big standees. There's so much to love about the design work in this film. So seeing this as a child, it just kind of set my imagination ablaze. And I've loved this movie ever since I was a kid. So it's dumb. Like, it is absolutely dumb. Like, this is one of those movies where you got to temper your expectations right out of the gate. But I'll totally agree. Acting is god-awful. To the point of hilarity in many scenes. The story,
the brothers, is, oh my god.
God, the Terenzi brothers. The story is non-existent. This is a collection movie. This is a movie where we have, like, basically the people are there only to get us to the next scene of clown insanity. And if you notice, like, when they're taking over the town, it's just random snippets of clown hijinks throughout the town. Like, I feel like they filmed a bunch of scenes and then were like, how do we connect this? You know, it doesn't really make sense as an overarching plot, but it's fun as fuck to watch. This is a great go-to if you're like, you got to do something else, like you're cleaning and you just want background noise, or you're drawing and you want background. This is one of those great movies because it's just so silly. So I don't know, I'm a huge fan. I absolutely adore this movie. I actually have my little slim Killer Clown action figure standing on my desk next to me that Pikmin's Vinyls made. And Spikey is downstairs, but I have him as well. So I Maurice, you know I don't collect pops, but I have the Killer Clown pops. So I'm a big Killer Clowns fanatic. I love this stuff. But so let's go through Oh, I never mentioned who the director was. I mentioned that it was PG-13. I stopped there. This is directed. Matter? What's that?
Doesn't matter.
No, it really doesn't, because it's the Chiodo brothers who wrote it, but Stephen Chiodo directed it. And the only thing of note that he's directed outside of this, like, he's done a bunch of like short films, but he did an episode of Elvira's Movie Macabre, and he covered, and Susie, I know you'll appreciate this, Santa Claus Conquers the Martians.
Oh my god. So, oh my god. I love that movie. That movie is so... Little Mike and I watched that one year when I lived on Richmond in Buffalo. It was just so fucking bizarre.
Yep.
Hooray for Santa Claus!
It's one of those Christmas oddball movies that you just have to see at least once. I remember I stumbled upon that. God, I think I was... Yeah, I was still working at Media Play when I first saw that. And I had no idea what the fuck I was watching. I was just like, why does this exist? You know, but it's fun. So let's go through the credits, or through the actors. We have Mike Tabacco. Great name.
I never knew that was his last name until yesterday.
Mike Tabacco, played by Grant Kramer. We'll probably see him again because he was in New Year's Evil, which is one of those movies I want to get on this show. He was in The Facts of Life, Murder, She Wrote, a movie called Leapin' Leprechauns, which I just love that title, Aliens from Uranus, and most recently, Willy's Wonderland, which, again, we will get that on the show.
Who is he in Willy's Wonderland?
I think he was the father that gets killed kind of, like, early on, like the flashback sequence.
Okay.
Then we have Debbie Stone, played by Suzanne Snyder. She was all over great 80s movies. She was in The Last Starfighter. She was in Weird Science. She was in Night of the Creeps, Return of the Living Dead 2. She was also in Murder, She Wrote and Seinfeld. So she's in a lot of good stuff. Dave Hansen, played by John Allen Nelson. He was in Deathstalker and The Warriors from Hell. Quantum Leap, Murder, She Wrote, Friends, Baywatch, and Feast 3, Happy Finish.
Oh, my God. That movie.
I feel like one day we need to cover the Feast films just for how absurd they are.
The first one is so fucking good. And then they just get more and more ridiculous. Shane bought me the trilogy one year, I want to say for Christmas, thinking that, you know, it'd be a really good movie. And, well, I still have them.
Well, I got the very first one. I rented it. And I fell in love with it right out of the gate. And so I couldn't wait for Feast 2 and 3. And then when Part 2 came out, I rented that. And I was like, this is hot garbage. And I never saw Part 3 until I was able to buy all three of them on like a collection DVD for $5.99. And I was like, fuck it. I'll get them. I just want to own the first one. So, but yeah, that third one, the way the trilogy ends, that final sequence, like I'm not going to ruin it here, but dear God, like this movie, just those movies go off the rails.
Yep.
Although you do got to give him credit for doing a POV shot of someone getting eaten and then pooped out.
Yes. And if that doesn't make you want to watch him, guys, I don't know what will.
Jason Mewes is in the first one. Why wouldn't you want to watch it?
Exactly.
Right? Then we have Curtis Mooney, played by... Curtis Mooney, played by John Vernon. He was in Dirty Harry, The Outlaw Josie Wales, Airplane 2, the sequel. Murder, She Wrote, Alfred Hitchcock Presents, Animal House, and Ernest Goes to Camp. So we have a little Ernest connection here because the Killer Clown's masks were used in Ernest Scared Stupid.
Hmm.
So then we have Rich Terenzi, played by Michael S. Siegel. He was in Cheeseball Presents, then 30-something, Three Fugitives, and he does voices for Horizon Zero Dawn. Then we have Paul Terenzi, played by Peter Lacasse. He was in Cheeseball Presents and Santa Barbara. And then, of course...
Santa Barbara, how fucking weird.
Right? We can't forget Farmer Gene Green, played by Royal Dano. He was in Alfred Hitchcock Hour, Lost in Space, Night Gallery, Amazing Stories, Fantasy Island, House 2, the second story. He plays the undead grandpa.
Oh, yeah.
Ghoulies 2. Twin Peaks, Spaced Invaders, and The Dark Half. Like, he was in a lot of great stuff.
He's at dead first, now.
Yeah, I thought he was the, what's his name, Doc from Fraggle Rock, and I was way off when I looked that one up.
So, for anyone that's listening to this that has not seen the movie, the plot, if you can call it that, is super basic. Basically, aliens who look like clowns come from outer space to terrorize a small town and turn its citizens into cotton candy for later consumption. So they basically wrap people up in this cotton candy that melts them down and then they drink them. It's fucking weird.
Yeah, it turns into like pink Kool-Aid.
Right.
Makes you wonder what you were really drinking as a child, right? Right?
Ah. It's Soylent Green.
Yep.
But we, right off the bat, I put we open with one of the best damn songs ever recorded for a horror film. So, and they knew it. Like, there's no preamble. It's just we start with the song. We get the credits, the title card, and then we get this opening montage of Officer Mooney kind of going around the town while the credits are rolling. And I love it because he stops at a stoplight and this kid is drinking beer and it just says beer. Like, it's a white can with black letters that say beer.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that Chris Titus?
Yeah, that's Christopher Titus.
Yeah. Yeah.
Got a little bit role in this. But we end the credits and up at the top of the world, which is basically like the makeout point in this movie. And the radio, the DJ on there is like, now let's turn it down for some of you lovers out there. And suddenly elevator music is playing. Like, it's the worst makeout music possible. So, but we see all these couples like in cars making out, and the cars are really fucking close to each other. Now, I cannot say I've ever been to a makeout point. I don't think Niagara Falls has one, but I imagine there would be some kind of etiquette, like don't park so close that you can just watch the next car. It seems a little awkward.
Did you notice that there was a blue truck and there was just three guys chilling in the back of it?
I did not.
Yeah. I was like, why are they all drinking beer at Makeout Point?
Hey, the bros got to have fun too.
Right? I mean...
Oh, Lord. But... this.
They're there for the watch, you know.
Yeah, they're
the cuckolds of the group.
Take those mental pictures home with them for later.
That's why they were parked so close. This was pre-internet. They were looking for live porn.
Yep.
So suddenly we get this ice cream truck rolling up, and it's over the announcer. It says, "I'm JoJo, the ice cream clown with the bestest ice cream in town. We'll give you the stick, you give it a lick, and it'll tickle you all the way down."
Oh my God.
And then he goes, ice cream, we brought our goodies here to you. A tasty treat for while you screw." The Terenzi brothers are fucking ridiculous.
They definitely are.
So the ice cream truck pulls up, the Terenzi, or one of the Terenzi brothers jumps out, and he's like pantomiming humping, you know, like telling people to come get their ice cream. Everyone starts booing at him and hucking stuff at him. So he jumps back in the car, and he goes, "Oh, you don't want any ice cream? Well, good, because you ain't getting any." And then the one guy yells, "We were getting some before you showed up." That cracked me up. But so inside the truck, Rich berates his brother Paul for telling him it was a stupid idea to think they could come up here and sell ice cream. And then Paul suggests just parking there for a while. And at that point, you don't know what he's talking about. He's like, "How about we just park here for a while?" It's like, well, why do you want to park at Makeout Point? And then suddenly the back curtain opens and these two girls come out eating Rocket Pops. And
very seductively.
Right. And they were, they basically were dick colored Rocket Pops.
Yep. So. The one was literally a red rocket. And the other one was one of those bomb pops. And if that's what it looks like, you should get that checked out.
Yeah. But the one goes, "Hey, what are you doing? You said we could have all the ice cream we wanted, but you never said anything about parking." And then he goes, all right, keep your shirt on. And she goes, "Oh, we intend to." I was like, womp womp. So they take off, you know, driving away.
The girls were basically there just for the ice cream and a free ride. They had no desire to canoodle with the boys. Yeah, go on a they didn't want to take a ride on their disco stick. Never thought I'd be able to quote Lady Gaga on this show, but hey.
There's a first for everything.
Exactly.
But we pan over to Mike Tobacco and Debbie Stone sitting in an inflatable raft in the back of a station wagon. And, you know, we find out that the Terenzi brothers are Mike's best friends. Like, he laughs them off and talks about how they're his best friends. So they start making out, and then they kind of like watch the stars after they make out for like 3 seconds. And a comet flies overhead and into the woods, and Mike and Debbie just stare slack jawed. So like, "Oh, what was that?" Now we cut to one of the best characters in the film, good old Farmer Gene Green and his dog Pooh Bear, sitting in their shanty in the woods.
First, I didn't know if he was calling him Boo, like my boo. And then I realized, like, before his scene ends, that it was Pooh Bear, which I thought was an interesting thing to name your little hound dog after Winnie the Pooh.
And I really feel like the whole reason that they had that in there was just so he could say, "Come on, Pooh." Like, he kept saying Pooh.
Yep.
Every line this guy has is pure fucking gold. Because as it flies overhead, he goes, "Well, I'll be horn swoggled. Did you see that little old sky guppy zip down there, Pooh?" It's like, wait, what? He excitedly thinks it's Halley's Comet. And he goes on, and I love his rant here, because he just starts prattling on as he's picking up a shovel and a bucket. And he goes, "You know how many people are going to come out here and see this thing? They'll come with hot dogs and helicopters and airplanes and tacos." I'm like, wait.
Priorities.
But hot dogs, helicopters.
I'm excited about all those, personally.
I like how he bookended the forms of travel with food. Oh man. So he heads off into the woods looking for the comet. And then meanwhile, Debbie tries to convince Mike to go look for the comet. He's annoyed as hell because he's still trying to get some. She insists that he begrudgingly goes along with her. So back to good old Farmer Gene Green in the woods. He comes up upon what appears to be a circus tent in the middle of the woods.
What in tarnation?
He goes, well, I'll be greased and fried. What in blue blazes is the circus doing up in these parts?
Oh, he's such a great character. He's probably the best character, the best actor in this movie.
Oh, yeah. He's him and Mooney.
Yeah. That fucking asshole.
Oh, but he excitedly tells his dog how much he loves the circus and wants to see if they can go get some free passes. So they head over to the tent and start poking around. And suddenly he starts to notice that no one else is around and feels like something is wrong. So he continues to walk around the tent looking for the ticket booth. And we see on the inside of the tent a clown shadow following them.
Love this part with the dog.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the thing. The dog stops and looks at the shadow, and then the shadow stops, like, right in front of the dog, and a hole, like, magically appears in the tent, and the clown reaches out with a dog-catching net and scoops and the dog up.
He scoops the dog, but it's very much like a Scooby-Doo sound, because he goes, whoop!
Yeah. And then Farmer Gene Green turns around. I keep calling him Farmer Gene Green. I'm giving him his whole name. He turns around, like, because of the whimper, and he notices his dog is missing, and he finds just the handkerchief that the dog was wearing. And he goes, something funny's happening around here. What in tarnation's going on here? And then he hauls off and fucking punches the tent.
And he hurts his hand, and it, like, vibrates.
He's like, ow, that smarts.
And then he grabs, like, the rope, which is electrified.
And we have the cartoon electrocution where his eyes get all big and he's like, yow! Like, there's the blue light around him. Oh my God. I was crying. I was laughing so hard.
When he falls backwards, his hands are still smoking. I thought that was a nice touch.
Right.
He, really added to the realism.
He's shaking them back and forth going, ow! His sound effects are great. And then a fucking creepy ass clown comes up out of the woods and he smiles at it. Like, okay, you just found a circus tent in the woods that's made of metal with electric cables and your dog went missing. And now you see this fucking weirdo walking up to you and you're like, oh, look, a clown. Everything's better now. Like,
well, he got injured on the property. He's definitely getting free tickets.
He might even be part of the show.
Oh, okay, that's a good point. Oh, shit. So, yeah, the clown pulls out a ray gun and shoots him. And then his death animations were great. Because he's like, wah, 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 like his jaw pops open. He's wiggling his hands and head. It's so great. But, so bye-bye, good old Farmer Gene Green. We cut to the police station where we see Officer Mooney bringing in two random college kids. Now, I know all present company has seen Ninja Turtles plenty of times.
Yes.
Do you guys remember the very first episode of the miniseries, the original cartoon? There was, before Rocksteady and Bebop were turned into the mutants we know and love, where they were just the gang of punks.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Why the fuck do these kids look like Rocksteady and Scrag? Like, the one guy looks like blonde Rocksteady, and the other dude looks totally like Scrag, the guy that got turned into the bat.
Mm-hmm.
I was that's like, oh my point. God, they look exactly like him.
Because that's what the 80s punk kids look like.
Right, but I mean, this movie came out, I want to say, was Turtles 87 or 88?
Thought it was 89. The movie?
No, the original cartoon.
Oh.
It was 87 or 88, I think.
I don't remember.
So now it's one of those things, like, what came first? Or, you know, was it that serendipitous moment where the designers had the same idea?
Yeah. See, I like your analogy. You know, it's better than what I wrote down of De Niro's taxi driver and Gothic Wolverine.
I do like Gothic Wolverine. Oh man,
someone should make that movie.
Gothic Wolverine.
Yeah,
definitely a Flock of Seagulls haircut right there.
Oh yeah,
it's called Wolverine Origins.
Oh man, that movie is so bad. But yeah, Mooney, he brought them in for drinking wine in the park.
Which,
guy's just walking around drinking wine?
Yeah. And Wolverine was like, it's a beautiful night, man. Why can't we just drink wine and walk the park?
He's like, why can't you stay on campus? He's like, we're part of this town too. And then Mooney like gets straight up like aggressive.
Oh, he smacks him around. Like he's a total dick. And then freaking Dave tries to calm Mooney down, but then Mooney turns on him too. And Dave has to threaten him. And of course Mooney takes it out on the punks and puts him in the holding cell. So he's pissed off that Dave told him what for. But we cut to Debbie and Mike searching in the woods for the comet, and they come across the circus tent. Debbie, being smart, immediately gets creeped out, as you should be. Whereas Mike does the Farmer Gene Green. He's like, oh boy, the circus! Because he's a dumb bitch.
I wouldn't go that far.
Oh, he's a total dumb bitch. We find more coming up. He just... walks into the fucking tent like he belongs there.
And like Debbie, he owns the place.
He is a clown.
This is true. He hangs out with two clowns as well. But so he goes in there and he drags Debbie with him. And we see just freaking zany designs all over the hallway. Like, I love the set designs in this movie. Mm-hmm. And Debbie's like, this doesn't look like any circus I've ever seen. He goes, sure it does. It's that new wave European circus fantastique. Because Mike is an idiot.
Fantastique. This movie is fantastique.
Then, Debbie still seems pretty hesitant in spite of Mike's excitement. And they move further down the corridor and find three weird rotating doors with squishy buttons.
And Mike is like a child. Okay, yeah, he is a real fucking bitch. He's pressing all of them like it's a Tickle Me Elmo on an end cap at Brand Names. Got to make them all set off. And then one of the doors opens and they go in. But it looks like when they walk in that something is pulling them.
Right. There's like a standing still pratfall moment. Like
yeah.
The door opens and they're like, whoa, and they fall into the door. And then we get, and this is actually what Reese mentioned earlier. I have in here. We have a killer clown version of the Death Star. I mentioned in The Thing how there was going to be a matte painting that I really love in this movie. And this is it. This corridor with like the weird, like electric orb. I love this painting so much. Like, this is one of those things that I think of all the time when I think of this movie. It's just such a cool look.
I thought you were going to say you think of it before you go to bed each morning.
No, actually,
sweet dreams, my painting.
No, but now I probably will this morning when I go to bed. But yeah, they realize at this point that they're not in a fun house anymore. And then Mike suggests maybe it's a nuclear power plant. And she goes, no. And he goes, a missile silo. She goes, no. A military base. She goes, no, no, no. And then Debbie realizes that it's the shooting star that they saw. They're in the shooting star. So it's ridiculous.
Brilliant deduction.
Something is cut. And this next scene is where Mike is just a real fucking dumb bitch. So something is coming down the hall toward them. They quickly go into another room and find a storeroom with cotton candy cocoons and a popcorn incubator. Now, Mike thinks it's a cotton candy factory. He also thinks you hang up cotton candy to dry. This is not how cotton candy is made.
I think they look like big butt plugs.
Jesus Christ.
I personally always thought it looked like that Pink Panther insulation, but, you know, whatever floats your boat.
The shape of them looked like a big, giant pink butt plug.
Wow.
I think we scared Matt.
Just ruined this movie even further, thanks.
Oh, man.
Just doing my job, sir. Just doing my job.
Damn butt plugs.
Oh, circus butt plugs. But, well,
I bet those are a thing.
They have to go and dry because, you know, we all know what happens to cotton candy when it gets wet.
Oh, God, that's horrifying. So, oh, man. Debbie tells him, you know, this, you know, that it's not a cotton candy factory. And he's like, of course it is. And he tears off a chunk of the cotton candy, revealing dead Farmer Gene Green inside a candy cocoon. Debbie screams. Mike looks quietly horrified. And then another clown comes in carrying another cocoon. So they hide behind the few hanging cocoons.
And does anyone else find it odd that the clown that walked in right after they screamed didn't hear anything?
Right. It's, yeah, that shit always annoyed me. Because the clown just walks in like, doo-doo-doo. No cares. Maybe he had popcorn in his ears. Who knows?
Ooh. Wait till we get to that scene later. Do I got something to say about that?
Well, then he hangs up the cotton candy cocoon and walks over to the popcorn incubator and starts pulling the random levers, and it's making little beep boop boop sounds. And then Mike sees Joe Lombardo in one of the cotton candy cocoons. And I wrote in here, who the fuck is Joe Lombardo? Well, he was cut from the beginning of the film, so this scene no longer makes sense. So, quick little side note on this. The movie was originally supposed to open with Joe Lombardo driving along the road. The scene where the guy gets run off the road later, That's Joe Lombardo. It was supposed to start with him and his girlfriend and, like, him trying to make out with her, her getting pissed off at him, them having an argument, and him leaving. So, as he's racing along the road, the clown comes up and runs him off the road. That was supposed to be the cold opening before the credits. And then they decided to cut that because they wanted to have the clowns landing in the forest. So they were like, well, that doesn't make any sense if they're already here and then we see them landing. So we got to cut that whole scene. But then they have this whole section where Mike knows Joe Lombardo, but we don't know who the fuck Joe Lombardo is. So one of those weird cutting room floor moments. But anyway.
Just another townie at this point.
Right. So Mike is shocked to see Joe Lombardo, and he drops his flashlight, alerting the clown, and he and Debbie run away. The clown grabs the popcorn gun and chases them.
Oh, my God, and I love this part, because he gets a little posse, and they get outside, and Mike and Debbie are running, and he makes a little balloon dog that then sniffs them out and makes barky noises. Barky noises? You know what I meant. Barky noises.
I love the balloon dog gag. And that's and a little side note. This is one of those things with this movie. Every clown gag you can imagine. Like, if you heard, you know, there's going to be a movie with killer clowns, you would probably think stuff like, okay, somebody's getting hit with a deadly pie in the face. Somebody's getting squirted with a flower. There's going to be a clown car scene. There's going to be balloon animals in some way. Like, they hit all of the notes. Like, everything you imagine a clown to do, they make sure the clowns do. But a little quick note before the dog scene, when they're running down the hall, the clown fires the popcorn gun, and you just see popcorn chasing them around the corner.
Yes, that's right.
But it doesn't do anything when it gets on them. What is the point?
We'll find out later.
Right. It clings to them. And I love it because Debbie goes, popcorn, why popcorn? And Mike just goes, because they're clowns, that's why. Like, that's the best explanation we get.
I mean, that really is the only explanation.
What else would you expect out of a group of clowns?
Exactly. Yeah. So we get
those little freaking peanut things.
Oh, I hate peanuts. Freaking marshmallow nightmares. Ugh, no fun. Although with Peeps, at least you can have the microwave gladiator battle.
True. I don't want to waste money on that.
But anyway, we have the dog, the balloon dog chase scene that you had said. And Mike and Debbie get to Mike's car, and they end up hitting the two dogs as they're taking, or two dogs, they hit the two clowns and run over the balloon dog as they're taking off.
Do you also notice how slow they're driving?
Yeah.
It's like you're being chased by clowns and a balloon animal dog, but you're going to only go like 5 miles an hour.
They were like, well, they can't run that fast because of those big floppy shoes, so we're good.
They also walk really creepily.
Yeah, they do. Ugh, they look like hop
shivers. Walk. Yes, I hate it. Kill them with fire.
Now, this is one of the few scenes. There's two scenes in this movie that really freaked me out as a kid. The one clown jumps on the hood of the car, and they kind of shake him off, and he falls down and rolls off into the ditch. And now, when they drive away, we see just a still shot of the clown laying down. We're looking at his feet, so he's, like, laying, like, facing away from us. And then we have the one clown, like, lean into the camera and stare at us, and then look and stare at the clown in the distance, and it sits up like fucking Michael Myers. Like, I don't know why.
The Undertaker.
That too.
But that is by far one of the creepiest moments. You know, I agree on you. That there, Mike.
Yeah, that, I don't know. Like, it just, as a kid, I'm like, okay, I don't like that. Like, I'm laughing up to that point, and I'm like, eh, it's creepy. But Debbie tries to convince Mike to go to the police. And he's like, they'll think we're crazy. You know, what do we tell them? There's killer clowns with popcorn guns. And she's like, I have a friend there who will believe me.
A friend.
Quote unquote. So now we get, we see a close-up sign of Crescent Cove, 5 miles. And we see the clowns go marching in.
Sauntering. So,
right. It's just like a...
Marching in.
Exactly. So the whole line of them.
Send in the clowns.
That song's creepy.
It is. That's why I sang it. I felt it was appropriate.
Now, this scene, I've never noticed until this watching, and I have seen this movie, like I said, many, many, many times. Back at the police station, we see Dave sitting at his desk, and we hear the world's longest tire screech. The screech, that's what I never noticed, like how long that screech goes on for. Like, why did Mike hit the brakes so far away, and why did he slide so far?
So here's the other piece of that. So they, like, take their sweet-ass time getting away from the clowns, but now that they're actually in town and in front of the police station, they're going to run over, what was that, a newspaper thing?
Yeah, a newspaper.
And, like, I thought it was a mailbox.
But... I thought it was at first, too. I'm like, oh, they're destroying federal property. And yeah, then you're running a cop car.
Right, yeah. He took that mailbox or whatever it out, whatever it was out, like that little Nero's driver from Home Alone.
Yeah.
And the little light, the lantern.
You kind of cut out for a second. What was that? The little Nero driver?
Yeah, the little Nero guy from Home Alone with the lantern.
Yes.
The pizza delivery guy. That's what I, you know, I was like, Mike drives for little Nero's.
And, so after they crash into the newspaper box, and then did they hit the car? I thought they hit a cop car after that, didn't they?
He rear-ended the cop car because then he has to hop over his bumper and the trunk.
That's
to
get right
to the other side of the car.
So they go running up to Dave, who looks confused. And Debbie's trying to convince him that people are dead and there's cotton candy cocoons and all. He tells him to come inside to help him understand what the fuck is happening. So now we cut to this. Now, this is going to be a ongoing thing throughout the rest of the movie. We're going to cut back and forth between what's happening in like the A scenario with Mike, Debbie, and Dave, and then the B scenario of just the clowns committing hijinks throughout the town,
which is kind of adorable.
Right. We cut to one of the clowns like standing out in front of a pharmacy because he sees people coming, and he stands in front of a pharmacy and pretends to be an animatronic clown.
Like the little animatronic ape or monkey, right, or gorilla, whatever type of animal it is.
Right. And it's just like, again, it's so random, but it's just like, it's one of those moments. We're going to see that again and again. Just weird clowns being clowns. And then back at the police station, Mike and Debbie try to explain the insane plot of this movie to Dave. And
then he's like, hated it.
Moody overhears him and mocks him, and we get... This is one of those things, I know they've joked about this on plenty of television shows, where there's the movie that has to say the name of the movie, and this is where we get the name of the movie. Moody goes, Killer Clowns from Outer Space! Holy shit!
He's a real fucking asshole.
He really is. So, Dave and Mooney, of course, don't believe them. And Dave is also bothered by the fact that Mike and Debbie were at the top of the world together. We find out a little later why. So Moody jumps in and points at Mike, and he goes, I know you, you little fart. You hang out with the Terenzi brothers.
You little fart.
My mom used to not swear like so much when I was little, and then, you know, she had like four other kids in very quick succession. So whenever I would be bad, like my mom never believed in like hitting us. But I remember she used to say, "Stop being a little fart. Stop farting around."
Well, that's what I was going to say. Calling someone a fart is like a lost insult. Because I feel like that was a thing in the 80s. I heard that plenty of times. Like, don't be a little fart.
I think that we should bring that back.
How old is your mom? Because my mom never said that, but my grandparents would say that.
My mom is 67.
Just call your mom out like that, huh?
My mom's going to be 65 this year. And she never said little fart. She called us little assholes, but I remember my parents saying little fart, or my grandparents saying little farts.
Well, that's the thing. Now, you guys know my mom. She just didn't swear. So
right.
I heard little fart a lot growing up. Like, don't be a little fart. Mm. I also heard little jerk a lot. Those were when I knew my mom was getting mad. If I heard fart or jerk,
better run.
Don't be a big fart, because sometimes the smaller ones are the deadlier ones. So.
I was going to say, I don't know, man, those, the little bubbler farts, those are the ones you got to watch out for.
Silent but deadly.
Exactly. The little machine gun farts.
Yep.
Those are the worst. But so Mooney basically points out that this whole clown thing is a stunt for the Terenzi brothers to sell more ice cream. he mocks Dave for entertaining the idea that this could be real. And I love this whole sequence, because he goes, "Go ahead, Dave." He goes, "Let him make a dummy out of you." He's like, "But they're not going to make a dummy out of me." And I was like, oh, foreshadow. So he sits down and crosses his arms like, no one's going to fool Mooney. And like, oh, he's such a dick. Dave, Mike, and Debbie get in the police cruiser and leave. Now we cut to a random puppet show in the park.
Oh, my God. With a totally righteous mullet.
Oh, yeah. That guy had a wicked mullet.
Oh, yeah.
But I got a question for you guys. If you saw a random puppet show with no audience in the middle of the night, would you go and watch it, or would you run the fuck away?
It was the 80s. It was simpler times.
He was drinking wine in the park.
Yep. He was part of the posse. He just didn't get caught.
I don't know. Personally, I'm like, okay, you are way too excited about a puppet show in the park at night. I would have been like, no, this seems all kinds of wrong. I'm out.
Maybe his parents were part of some very extreme religious cult that prohibited him from ever partaking in said puppet show. And this was the first time since he broke free from the confines of his upbringing that he could actually enjoy one.
There was way too much thought into that. You put more thought into that than there was in this entire movie.
I just came up with that on the fly. I didn't even have that written down. That was freestyle, like Eminem.
He has a mullet, so you know he wants a party.
Exactly.
It's true. Oh, man. So he watches the puppet show, which is basically a puppet trying to a puppet being very rapey with another puppet.
Yes.
And the female puppet gets a ray gun and shoots the rapey puppet. You know,
rightfully so.
And it disappears. It like evaporates. And the guy thinks it is the funniest thing he's ever seen. He's cackling like crazy. And I'm like, okay. So maybe you're onto something, Susie. Maybe he really just hasn't had entertainment in his life. But this part is creepy, but it's also kind of funny, because Spikey, the one of the taller clowns, stands up out of the little puppet show box, and there's no way he could have fit in there. Like, he's 10 times the size of the damn puppet box. And
you're going to question the clown fitting in that box, but you're not going to question six of these clowns coming out of the car at the end.
But that's a clown car. Physics. It's like, so? it's like the,
it's the same
box
clown magic.
No, it's like the TARDIS in Doctor Who. Like,
I don't understand that reference. I've never watched Doctor Who.
The TARDIS is on the inside.
It's literally a phone booth, but when you walk in, it is vast.
Gotcha. I don't watch it, sir, but yeah.
So, but yeah.
Smoke and mirrors.
He stands up, he shoots the guy who turns into a cotton candy cocoon. So, bye-bye, mullet.
A butt plug, if you will.
He turns into a pink butt plug. So we cut to the back to the pharmacy, where clowns are just completely wrecking the place.
Oh my god. This part. The pharmacist is just behind the counter, looking completely mortified.
Oh yeah.
And there's dialogue that is being said, but his mouth never moves.
Like when he says, oh my.
Oh dear.
Yeah, like his mouth doesn't move.
Right. Exactly. And we see throughout the pharmacy, like, more pink butt plugs all over the place. And the clowns are just knocking shit over, looking around, looking back at the pharmacist like, you see what I'm doing in your store, right? I'm fucking it up. Just like, no fucks were given.
But, you know, this scene kind of sucked, though, because we don't care about nostalgia in the 80s with pharmacies. We want toy stores.
Right?
So we can see the toys and stuff. I don't care what the toilet paper looked like or the toothpaste.
Maybe that's why the clowns were like, where's the good stuff?
True. That would have made a lot more sense, like, for a clown to go into a toy store. Like,
yeah,
I kind of wish they did that.
He was thrown off guard by the giant gorilla out front.
Yep.
Ah, there you go. He's like, where are the damn toys? But we cut back to Dave, Debbie, and Mike driving. And Dave tells her he's going to drop her off at home before they investigate the top of the world. And she protests and says that she wants to go with him. And this is where we find out that Dave and her used to date, and he still wants to be with her. And Mike is just sitting in the back seat like, oh, fuck. He's like, I'm in the back of her ex-boyfriend's police cruiser. I'm so fucked. So he tells her that they can either go home or he'll lock her up back at the station for safekeeping. And I was like, Dave is kind of a dick here. And we cut to more clowny hijinks.
He has to assert his masculinity.
His authority.
Respect my authority.
You'll do as I say, or I'm going to lock you up.
Ooh, sounds like a good time.
So, Maurice, we now know that you like Dave, huh?
Actually, I'm more of a Mooney type person, but sure. Ah.
But now, this is another one of those scenes where I'm like, this doesn't, much like the puppet show, this doesn't make sense to me. A woman answers her door in a nightie with a glass of wine, and there's three clowns holding a stack of pizza boxes, and she just goes, oh, pizza. The first it was one clown, that's right. Two more clowns pop up from the sides, like, when she says that. And then frickin' Shorty pops up out of the boxes of pizza and shoots her with the ray gun, turning her into a butt plug. Now, my question is...
I like how you didn't even skip a beat with that.
I just have a question here. Was she filming an adult film? Is this why she was scantily clad and expecting a pizza delivery?
Maybe she was expecting a caller instead.
But I don't know.
Maybe bachelor number two was going to show up at her door.
But dressed as a clown with pizzas?
I mean, hey, everyone's got their kink.
Well, I was going to say, and if she was filming a porn, was it a clown porn? Like, what is happening? Why is she not fazed by this? I just want to know. It doesn't make sense. And
she was definitely filming a porn. Yeah.
They wanted to cover all the search inquiries all in one.
We cut to another clown showing up at a random woman's house. Now, this is the second one that I'm like, how does this make sense? Why do you people answer the door at night and see a clown and not freak the fuck out? So it's just the fat clown holding a box of chocolates, and she's like, oh, for me? And she just takes the candy from the strange fucking clown. And I was like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
It was simpler times.
I grew up in the 80s, and I was always told not to take candy from strangers.
Well, I hope she doesn't have kids.
This is true. But she turns thinking, like, her husband got her some kind of weird fucking creepy candygram. I forget what his name was, like Arthur. So she's like, oh, Arthur, was this from you? And the clown just goes and pulls out a gun and points it at her. And then, you know, his face drops and we cut away. This is where we see Dave, Mike, and Debbie stopping at Debbie's house to drop her off. Mike is uncomfortable with the entire situation and thinks Dave is going to take him in the woods and kill him.
Yep.
And she assures him that Dave is harmless and tells him that she plans to follow them up there, you know, after they leave. And Mike convinces her, he's like, no, just stay and wait for me here until I come back. And we see Dave kind of like watching as they kiss. Like he's just, Dave's being a creeper. And
I believe the term is voyeur.
True. But he's being creepy about it.
He is.
And then we cut back to the pharmacy, and this is where we get the shaving cream gag followed by the powder gag.
Before we go into the pharmacy, did you notice that after Dave was, you know, being a voyeur and Mike tried getting back in the car, he was like halfway in and Dave pulls away.
Yeah.
So, yes.
He was like, fuck you.
He also made him sit back in the back again. Mm-hmm. He's like, you're sitting where we hold the prisoners. But the shaving cream and powder gag, again, more clown shenanigans. The one clown sprays the other clown with shaving cream over his shoulder, and then he opens up like a tin of powder and sniffs it and then sneezes and it explodes onto the other clown. So silly clown shenanigans. Now we cut to Mike and Dave in the woods and we see that the tent is gone. And I love this scene because there's just a big asshole and Mike is kind of freaking out here. And of course, Dave doesn't believe.
Wait, there's a big asshole?
A big asshole. Yeah, Mooney's there. But no, there's this huge hole in the ground and they start arguing. And this, it reminded me of the Canadians from South Park.
Because oh my God.
David's like, he's like, listen here, buddy, I'm done with your pranks. And he's like, come on, guy, there was a tent there. And there's like guy and buddy and mister and friend thrown around left and right. It cracked me the fuck up every time.
I'm not your buddy, pal.
I'm not your pal, friend. Listen here, mister.
I'm not your mister, compadre.
Oh, I love it. But so now Dave is pissed. He cuffs Mike and tells him, you're not going to get away with this. And then we cut to even more clown shenanigans. This time it's a group of bikers in an alley. Jordy comes up on his little bicycle with training wheels. And the guy asks if he can take it for a ride. And Shorty tells him no. And he goes, can I at least honk the horn? And he's like, okay, kind of, you know, nods. And the guy picks up his bike and just smashes it apart, stomping on it, making Shorty cry. So they're all like, oh, I'm sorry, I broke your bike. And he jumps up in the sky, disappearing, comes back with boxing gloves.
And challenges him to a duel.
And I love, because the clowns speak, it always just said alien language whenever they talk. And it's like this weird, squeaky, nonsensical noise. But in this one, it sounds like he's saying, put up your dukes, put up your dukes. Like, I don't know if that's what he's supposed to be saying, but it sounds like
that. Yeah, on the subtitles.
Subtitles on.
Yep. Oh, it says put up your dukes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. But he goes, what are you going to do? Knock my block off? And then Shorty's fist extends like one of those little extendy punching bag hands. And it knocks his head off into the garbage. The
bike and that escalated quickly.
It really did. And then this scene is also ridiculous. We cut to the outside the Big Top Burger. And there's a clown trying to lure a kid out to him. I'm like, what kid is going to be enticed by this fucking thing? Like, I mean, it looked horrifying. I can't, like, what kid is going to look at that and go, oh, okay, I'm going to run out there.
Caroline from Poltergeist, that's who.
She did look like her.
But the mom is, like, such a bitch to her, too. She's like, I'm done with this. Eat your food.
Yeah. Well, she's probably like, you know, because that was, like, the equivalent of McDonald's for this town.
Right.
Like, every kid back in the 80s, like, I want to go to McDonald's. I want to go. You know, she's probably bugging the hell out of her. She finally takes her there, and she's going to sit there and not eat her food. But like, you're eating this fucking food. You ain't getting food when we get home.
This is all the food there is in the whole wide world.
You're going to go to bed hungry. You better eat your grease. So he goes, like, she goes, like, toward the fucking creepy clown, and we pan back and see he has a giant mallet behind his back. And
he lures her by playing peekaboo.
Yeah.
And then he like extends his finger like, come to me, my pretty.
It's so creepy.
Yeah. Stranger danger.
Yeah.
And then the mom stops her and pulls her back. And then this is creepy because we do a close up on the clown and it fucking growls.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I don't like that.
The mom doesn't even address the giant clown with the mallet at the door either.
Right.
Nope. She just, get away from the door.
Where do you think you're going? Eat your french fries.
It's like, I'm sick of all these burger places and their damn clowns.
I'm tired of all these motherfucking burger places with all these motherfucking clowns.
Oh, Lord. So we cut to Dave and Mike arriving at the top of the world, and we see a ton of abandoned cars there that look to have been ransacked. Dave looks around, gets out, finds cotton candy webs all over all the cars, looks inside one of the cars, and he finds a pair of shattered glasses, which are, what's his name? Chris Titus's character, his glasses. And Mike tells him that that's the stuff that was wrapped around the bodies. Now, Dave is starting to believe this isn't a joke after all. Back at the police station, Mooney is getting call after call about clowns, and he thinks the whole town is fucking with him because he's an asshole. He's like, clowns? Clowns, you say? Oh, fuck you too, buddy. He's just like hanging up on people.
So basically, he's just not even going to do his job. He pulls out a bottle of Jack and is like, oh, this fucking town.
Yeah, even though the label was not facing the camera, we all know that's Jack Daniels.
Exactly, exactly.
It's like, you're not going to make a clown out of Mooney. It's like, oh, such an ass. Now, this next part is the scene I was talking about earlier with Joe Lombardo. He's freaking on a highway through the woods, and we see the freaking clown with headlights in front of its feet, like driving along on nothing. And then Joe sees the clown coming up, and the clown just starts ramming him off the road. And he's like, "Oh no, Joe, come on, we gotta keep going!" Like he's talking to himself in third person. And then the clown runs him off the road and he, you know, tumbles down. Car doesn't blow up or nothing. They saved that for later.
It just catches on fire.
Right. And then the clown just cackles. So. Oh, that was fucking creepy.
Yeah.
I've been saving it for this episode.
Yeah. Well, don't use it again.
So we cut to Debbie getting ready for the world's longest shower, and we see the popcorn that she was covered in all over the floor, but it's moving. It's like dun dun dun. And then back at Big Top Burger, we see the creepy clown sprinkling popcorn in a dumpster. And then back at Debbie's, we see her taking a shower and something in the hamper is moving. And then we cut back to Big Top Burger again, and an employee is throwing garbage into the dumpster, and he hears something that sounds like an animal, so he opens the dumpster back up and goes to investigate and gets pulled in screaming as the whole dumpster gets shaken around. So, poor Big Top employee got eaten by popcorn. But I have a question here. How come that popcorn turned so quickly, but the popcorn in Debbie's bathroom takes like half the movie?
Movie's got a movie.
Yep.
True. I guess that's kind of dumb to try to figure that out, huh?
Mm-hmm.
But so we cut back to Mike and Dave driving around. And before that happens, we cut back to Mike and Dave is talking about having the cotton candy stuff analyzed at the lab. Dave apologizes to Mike for how he treated him and then insults him by telling him it's obvious that Debbie goes for laughs and not stability. So it's like, oh, that's a little backhanded.
Comment.
And then we get more clown shenanigans. A clown shows up outside or at a bus stop where a bunch of people are just waiting there. And he proceeds to entertain them with shadow puppets.
Oh, my God. And the little old lady gets so excited. And right. Then she tells the little old man and he's like, "Ooh, shadow puppets."
And it starts off simple. At first, it's a bunny. Then it goes to an elephant, and then it's Washington crossing the Delaware.
And the old culminates with that.
Yeah.
Yes, he salutes, because then it's like a mermaid and a belly dancer.
And,
it's just ridiculous.
We see, he's the clown is making the, whatchamacallit, or we cut back to Mike and Dave driving around the town, and Mike points out the clown doing the shadow puppets. He's like, there's one of them now. So they start driving up, and we see, yeah, he does the mermaid, the dancing woman, and then finally a T-Rex. And that one has a red glowing eye. And they're all like, oh! and the T-Rex like it rears back and then chomps down and it scoops up all the people.
There's like six of them there too.
Right. And so, and we see the clown like cupping his hands, like he shrunk them down and has them in his hands. And then he throws them in his bag of popcorn. So he fed them to the popcorn. And then Mike freaks out. He slams on the gas and pulls the wheel. And they go flying at the clown. And he just like does that creepy clown laugh and shoots up into the sky.
And this is the worst part of this movie. Like, I rewound this to double check. They fly into this wall, and there's no damage to this car.
Yep.
Like, it's a brick wall.
Yep.
And
yet,
nothing.
Yet later, the car gets taken out by rear-ending an ice cream truck.
Yeah, there's more damage at the, you know, what was it, under the underpass, right?
Yep.
But the sound effects are just horrendous. Like, you would think it was an 8-car pileup.
Right. It's ridiculous. But they look up into the sky. We're like, where did he go? And then Dave tries to call it into Mooney, but of course he doesn't believe him. He asks Mooney to call for backup, but he refuses, thinking it's all a big joke on him. And he goes, so fuck you, over. Which cracked me up. And Dave wants to get back to the station and call it in himself, but suddenly they hear two girls screaming, and then they see them running out of an alley, followed by the Terenzi brothers, followed by the Terenzi brothers' ice cream truck, and then the Terenzi brothers. So I don't know what the fuck happened here, but they had those girls in an alley, and they ran away screaming. The car was chasing them, and the guys were outside of the car chasing the car. What the hell happened?
They showed the girls their push pops.
Oh, God. It just doesn't make any sense. And then Mike tells Dave that that's not the clowns. Those are my friends. And so he says that he'll go catch up with them and they'll warn the town. And Dave is going to go back to the police station and call in for backup. So he goes, they split up at that point. So they get to the ice cream, or he gets over to the ice cream truck and tries to tell him what's going on. Of course, they don't believe him. And he's like, well, can you at least bring me over to Debbie's house? And they go, does she have any roommates? And he lies and goes, oh, yeah, she's got two beautiful roommates with big boobs. And he goes, do they like ice cream? And he goes, they love it. And they're like, well, what are we waiting for? They're fucking cartoons, man.
Who doesn't like ice cream? Come on now.
I know, right? It's like, even
I thought you were going to say, who doesn't like big boobs?
Well, also, right? But we cut back to Mooney at the police station. The phone lines are just lighting up, and he's ignoring them while smoking a cigar. And suddenly one of the clowns waddles into the office. Mooney laughs at him, and he's like, well, son, I think you made a big mistake. You're in Mooney's territory now. And the clown pulls out flowers, and he goes, oh, for me? And the flowers squirt Mooney in the face, pissing him off. So
watching this yesterday, it looks like it's actual piss that's coming out of the flower. Like, it doesn't look clear like water.
Right. I don't know what it was, clown piss.
It's a hefty stream, too.
Yeah, it is. And this is where we see, yes, and this is where we see just how fucking horrible Mooney is.
Oh, yeah.
Well, too bad it wasn't PG, because they could have used acid.
True.
They could have showed titties in, you know, her bathroom.
Right. But he, like, after he, you know, squirts Mooney with the flowers, he's like, all right, and he goes to cuff him. And he cuffs the clown, and then the clown pops his hands off, and we see that Mooney's just basically holding two clown gloves, and the clown scurries toward the cells in the back. Mooney follows after him. You know, he tells him to put his hands up. The clown's hands pop back out of his sleeves, and he forces them to get in the cell with the two punks. And as he's going into the cell, Mooney takes out his freaking flashlight, his like fucking mag light, and whacks the clown in the back of the head, and his fucking head spins all the way around and growls at him. So Mooney's like, okay, and he closes the fucking the gate behind him. Mooney looked a little scared there. And then the clown pulls out a noisemaker, blows it, and when it unfurls, it turns into a hand, grabs Mooney by the throat, and bashes his head into the wall, or bashes his head into the bars.
Which was definitely not hard enough to kill him.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't think it killed him. I think it knocked him out. I think what happens next killed him.
Oh, okay. He looked dead for a second because he was like not moving at all when he slammed his head, but gently pulled his head towards the bars.
And then I love it because the fucking the punks look at him. They're like, "So, what are you in for?" Just like womp womp. And then we cut to Debbie finally getting out of the shower, and we
long see ass the shower.
Right, it was like 20 minutes of the movie. Like, it was a lot of the movie.
Maybe this is all happening like simultaneously.
I it has to be, but even so, like, think about it. If that was happening simultaneously, Mike and Dave drove to the top of the world, hiked through the woods, investigated, drove back, saw another clown, drove back to town, saw the clown, and then split up and started heading their separate ways in the time it took her to take a shower.
I have one comment. Prom night. Longest fucking school day ever.
This is true. In movies, time does not matter.
Right.
It's like when you see a bomb in an action movie and they have 60 seconds and it's like 30 minutes of movie. You know?
Right. Here's my other question. So Debbie gets out of the shower, and let's just presume it's late at night now. So instead of putting on pajamas, she puts on jeans, a sweater, leg warmers, and sneakers.
Leg warmers. Yep.
Right.
That's how she escapes the popcorn.
Yes.
Oh,
the sweater, not the leg warmers.
You wacky 80s, you.
But why does she hears like the rustling and it's like the hamper is shaking? And why does the popcorn into clown headed sperm?
I've never understood that. I was like, so that's their babies? Like, they start off as popcorn and then become a clown head on an umbilical cord and then grow out from there, I'm assuming. I don't know.
And I have another question tying into that that's going to happen in regard to something that's going to happen in just a few moments.
Well, we see Dave arrive at the police station and he sees the phones ringing off the hook and he tries to answer them and hears circus music and screams. He then notices big red footprints on the floor and follows them back into the holding area where we see footprints all over the walls and ceiling. In the cell, he sees two cotton candy cocoons containing the punks. So Dave walks back out into the office, kind of freaked out. And this is the only other scene in the movie that scared the shit out of me and still kind of creeps me out to this day. We see the clown that killed Mooney sitting at Mooney's desk, using Mooney's body as a ventriloquist dummy, complete with like the wood line cuts for the jaw are like little blood trails, so it looks like he's got the ventriloquist jaw. Mm-hmm. And he's making Mooney talk, and then he leans him forward toward Dave and he goes, "Don't worry, Dave, all we want to do is kill you." Like, that was spooky. And then the clown pulls his hand out of Mooney's back with like a wet squelching sound and then shakes the blood off his hand and you hear it like splatter. It's like, ugh, that whole sequence freaked me out as a kid. So the clown gets up growling and shoves the desk out of the way. Dave shoots him 3 or 4 times in the chest, has zero effect on the clown. Clown just keeps coming. He lines up a shot and shoots its big shiny red nose, and that does the trick. It screeches, spins around in flashing green lights, and blows up like the fucking Death Star.
Yep.
So Dave gets on the horn, calls for backup. They're like, okay, yeah, we'll send backup. Like, they don't seem to question the whole killer clowns thing. They're just like, all right, we've heard it all. But we cut to the Terenzi brothers driving down a very well-traveled road. This part bothers me. So it's like there's cars everywhere. And then they turn the corner and suddenly there's nobody. Like, the clowns have taken over the entire town. Like, so was that street just like not bothered by the clowns? Like,
well, they're having their clown parade now.
Right. But I mean, like, there was just down the street, there were like 7 other cars driving along like nothing's happened. And meanwhile, you turn the corner and there's fucking streamers from everywhere. There's dead people. There's a fucking giant vacuum cleaner on tank treads sucking up freaking pink butt plugs. Like, it's insane.
Bugs.
But they hit the brakes. They see the, like I said, the giant vacuum cleaner thing. And there's like this one scene, little montage scene of clowns throwing the, you know, cotton candy cocoons out of windows. It's sucking them up. And you see one guy try to make a run for it. Clown turns, zaps him, turns him into cotton candy, and it hits the ice cream truck. They back out and like, you know, let's get the fuck out of here. So they take off. Now we cut back to Debbie, finally now having gotten dressed after she got out of the shower. Like it's, she's just like the slowest at getting ready.
Maybe she was doing something else off camera.
I mean, she couldn't finish it. Well, what the hell is it called? Make out top of the world.
Right.
That's true. Well, her shower head was detachable. That's all I'm going to say.
That is true.
Shane also mentioned how really unsafe her little towel rack is. Mm-hmm. If you slip, you're going to die. You're going to impale yourself. And I said that's probably why they don't make them. It was like just two metal, like little poles that like swung out from against the wall. And your towel hung off of it. So if you fall and it's like facing the wrong way,
you're dead.
Good night, Irene.
I never even thought of that. That's, oh God, that's creepy.
She works in insurance.
Oh man. So she, you know, she's finally, you know, having finished getting dressed, she goes to throw her dirty clothes in the hamper and two chomping clown heads on weird umbilical cords pop out trying to bite her.
Those things scare the shit out of me, I'm not going to lie.
They are creepy.
But then two more pop out of the medicine cabinet and start attacking her, both biting down on her shoulders. She sprays them in the face with deodorizer and they let go. And then one rises up out of the toilet, and if you look closely, you can see the arm of the puppeteer. At the bottom of the screen, you just see like a little bit of skin peeking out of the bottom of the puppet's sleeve. It's the same thing with the medicine cabinet. You can see the cords that go into the stalks. Like there's holes in the wall and you can see the cords. So definitely not the best special effects moment. But she you know almost gets bit by the toilet head and she shoves the freaking shower head into its mouth, turns it on and runs away. She runs into her living room and hears Mike at the front door yelling for her and knocking. She opens it to find a clown mimicking Mike's voice. She screams, slams the door, and leans against it. And now we get like a clown jackhammer. Because
yep.
the door vibrates, but you hear the clown still going like, Debbie.
Debbie, I love you, Debbie.
Debbie, open the door. Ha-cha-cha-cha. But she screams and goes to jump out the window. And we see more clowns down below dressed like firemen.
With the little like people catcher thing.
Yes. Waiting for her to jump. That was a good joke.
But it's just so tiny.
Right. Well, they were like, you're going to die anyway. We don't care if you die here.
Exactly.
But she backs up screaming right into the clown who is at the front door. He picks her up laughing and throws her on the couch while the other clowns pile into the room. Then he shoots her with a ray gun and a balloon forms around her. So
here's my question. Why? Because you said that maybe, you know, she's going to die anyway. They don't care if she dies jumping out the window or whatever. Why does Debbie get put into a balloon? What is their plan for her? Do they need like a human or, you know, whatever species indigenous to whatever planet to like continue to procreate?
Oh God, that would be, I didn't even think about that. Oh.
Cause like everyone else that we've seen, they all get, you know, the butt plug treatment, but Debbie gets put into a balloon. And then when we go back to the, in a little while, we'll be back there. And there are several balloons.
So what you're saying is they're going to put popcorn kernels in her.
Yeah.
Oh, that's freaky. I mean, maybe, because, yeah, there are a bunch of balloons. But she does make a comment later that she couldn't breathe in there. So it's almost like they were suffocating her slowly. So I don't know.
I think they just want to give her the circus peanuts.
I want to know how she survived when everyone else died.
Right. But, well, there is a comment that Dave makes about, you know, there could be other people alive, but they don't have the time to try to save them. So, I mean, he just kind of left them to their fate. But the Terenzi brothers and Mike are on their way to Debbie's place, and they see the clowns attaching the Debbie's balloon prison to the back of their clown car. And then the clowns drive off with Debbie in tow, just kind of bouncing around in that balloon.
Now, so Mike knows that she's in that balloon. He's like, that's Debbie in there. But yeah. When you see it, like, from the perspective of the car that he's in, it is not something you can see inside of. But then the close-up, you can see Mike, help me!
Pounding on the balloon.
Right, so...
That movie's got a movie.
Right.
But, so they take off, and the Terenzis and Mike give chase. So they go flying by Dave, and he follows them. Now, Paul notices a cop behind him and forces Rich to stop the car, causing Dave to crash into them. This is where it totals Dave's car, even though a brick wall couldn't do it, as you guys pointed out earlier. Mike gets...
That car has been through hell in this movie.
Right?
And it still looks good.
It got rear-ended, hit a brick wall, then hit an ice cream truck. And Dave hops out of the crashed car. Mike goes out, tells him they got Debbie. So he comes running up and jumps into the ice cream truck. And the fucking Terenzis are like, they start handing their license and registration. The guy was like, I'm sorry, officer, I wasn't feeling very well. And Dave just shoves him out of the way and they start driving. And they're like, we lost him, though. And then Dave goes, if you were a clown, where would you go? And we see the amusement park in the distance with the clown spaceship, like, you know, off there in the circus or in the amusement park.
Like, what?
Right. So they moved it to the amusement park and nobody saw. And so they head off that way. And then we get the clown car joke where the clown car pulls up. There's a security guard at the amusement park. And we see one clown get out and he goes, oh, the park's closed. You got to go away. Another clown comes out. And then like, there was like six more that all pile out while the music plays. And then we get the pie death gag where they're all holding cream pies. And he goes, what are you going to do with them pies, boys? And they just huck pies at him. And he
I've been quoting that line for years. Not going to lie. Like, with my brothers, like if Thanksgiving or whatever, they'll come out like with the pie. I'll be like, what are you gonna do with those pies, boys? And like, it's just one of those little lines that my brothers and I like just have carried on all these years.
It's an odd moment in film, though. Like, yeah. It's so weird. I remember me and my brother overanalyzing this moment. Like somehow this was the moment that bothered us out of all of the other weird shit that happens.
It didn't bother you that the guard pulled a random sandwich out of his coat pocket?
Not at all.
He was hungry.
He's got coat sandwiches. But no, they hit him with the pies. He melts down, and then frickin' Shorty puts a cherry on top. Now. It's a silly scene. It's acid pies, basically. But Mike, Dave, and the Terenzis show up, and we see what looks like a wad of melted ice cream. Now, there's smoke everywhere. And Paul sticks his finger in it and starts touching it. Now, this is the part that always bothered us. We're like, if it melted a man down to bones, why is Paul's fingers fine? Like, he's just rubbing them back and forth, like, oh, look at that, it's ice cream. It's like, wouldn't that start to burn, like, almost immediately?
Yeah, he would lose his fingers.
It uses up all its acidic powers by devouring one body. It's a one and done.
Maybe he has to eat the ice cream off of the Terenzi brothers' fingers before it could get to the flesh.
He's a constant, he's covered in a thin layer of ice cream. A protective layer. So they go into the crazy house after the clowns. And Dave tells them to all stick together. And he goes, you know, it's like anytime in a movie when someone's like, we need to stick together, you know, that means they're not gonna.
Right. You know?
And this is the thing I was talking about at the start of the movie. The set design in this entire final sequence is so fucking good. I love all of the cool, like, painted standees. You got, like, dragons and dinosaurs and a weird robotic ape. Like, there's so much cool shit in there. This is where they have this little discussion of why are they here and why clowns? And Mike brings up, maybe they're the ancient aliens that came here before. He goes, and our idea of clowns came from what they look like. And then I think it was Rich. He's like, maybe they're here studying us. And then friggin' Paul goes, or maybe they were just cruising through the galaxy and stopped for a bite to eat. And it's like, yeah, that's probably it.
Yep.
Nice, simple plot of the movie. So they all walk past this shiny red button on the wall, except for Paul, who has to stop and poke it.
Because he's such a fucking child.
But I love it because it's like, it reminded me of that Red and Stimpy bit where it's like, the shiny red button, and he's just rolling Stimpy in front of the button. Like, don't push it. But yeah, he stops and pokes the button, and we get a foghorn and smoke that shoots up Mike's ass. He jumps screaming, and they're like, what happened? And Paul's like, I didn't do it. Like, just...
Like, otherwise, usually it is him.
Right.
Blowing smoke up his brother's ass.
So Dave tells the Terenzis to stay with them. He doesn't want to have to find them, too. So they tell him, we're not going anywhere, don't worry. And as soon as him and Mike turn around, they fall through a trap door in the floor into a ball pit.
Oh my God, I love this part though, because these two clowns are there, these female clowns, and the brothers pop up and their tits just like inflate. And I forget which one. Yeah, balloon tits. And I forget which brother says it, but he goes, are you Debbie's roommates?
Yeah. Oh God. They were down to fuck the female clowns, which is creepy.
I mean, I wonder if they did.
Oh well, we find out a little later. So we've cut back to Mike and Dave. Mike recognizes the hall that they're in, and it's, you know, as the tent that they were in before. So they go into the cotton candy room, and now it looks like they have the entire town cocooned. Like, there's just all of the racks are filled with pink butt plugs. So they look for Debbie's balloon, and this is where the fat clown comes in. This is kind of creepy. He comes into the candy storage, and Mike and Dave kind of hide behind the cocoons and watch him. And he's kind of poking and prodding the cocoons, trying to find a ripe one. And then he sticks a crazy straw into one of them and drinks its fluids. It's just like, ugh, it's fucking gross. But then he burps and leaves. So Mike and Dave find the balloon with Debbie. Dave shoots it open to get Debbie out. And they go to leave. But Dave wants to see if there's any other people alive in the other balloons, but this is where we get the clowns come running in. They heard the gunshot, apparently. They didn't hear the people yelling earlier, but they heard the gunshot. So they come running and force
they're the used to people yelling because they're putting them in the cocoons and balloons and shit. They don't hear gunshots.
That's a good point. But so the clowns come in, they're like, we don't got time, and they go running out. So now we get this long chase sequence where Dave has killed a few of the clowns. Like, you know, they're running down the halls. The clowns are chasing them. Dave will turn, shoot the shotgun at their nose, blow them up. It happens a few times. And then we get to, they find a fire pole. And we see the clown shadows coming around the corner. And they're at a dead end. They're like, this is, you know, we got to go down the fire pole. So Debbie goes down. Then Mike goes down. The clowns turn around. Dave shoots another one and jumps down the pole. And then we stop. And Dave's like, why did you stop here? And we look down, and there's just this weird fucking monster eating the fire pole. Like, what is that?
Yeah, I didn't understand that.
It's so weird. And then the rest of this chase sequence, the sets are just ridiculous. Like, they're running through corridors that are filled with balloons and fog. There's, like, a giant anglerfish that they run into its mouth and down these crazy corridors and out another anglerfish's mouth. It's just crazy set design. And eventually they come up to this like this big door, and Dave is sitting there with the shotgun, you know, ready to shoot the clowns when they come after him. And it still makes me laugh to this day, but Mike goes to open the door and he goes, another door. Then he opens the next door, another door. And he just keeps saying, another door, over and over and over again. And it is the worst delivery. And it's just, it's so fucking dumb, but so funny. So eventually they finally get to the last door and they have to crawl through it into a big open room with like colorful boxes all over the place. And once they get in, they use the shotgun to like lock up the door behind them. And suddenly clowns come out from everywhere. They come out from behind all the boxes and pillars, swinging different like baseball bats and like what looks like hooked, like bladed hockey sticks, like just all this weird shit. So the three of them climb up the boxes and the clowns surround them. So they're about to get killed. Then suddenly the ice cream truck busts through the wall. And the Terenzis start using the PA in the truck to make the clowns think that it's one of them. And we also see both of them are covered in lipstick and their clothes are shredded. So I just wrote, they fucked them clowns.
Yep. Yep. They did. But they titty fucked them.
Well, they were inflatable, so.
Right.
But they say, I am the great and powerful JoJo. I command you to stop. Do not hurt them. Let them go. You will obey me. Let them go. All the clowns look shocked and in awe. And I'm like, how do they understand him? Like, he's not speaking in their alien language. So how do they understand everything he's saying? Why would one of the clowns be speaking in English?
True.
They learned it while they were on the planet.
Yeah, but they're not speaking it, so why would one of them speak it? Ah. But Mike, Debbie, and Dave go running off to the truck while the clowns are distracted, and they can't get the truck started. So suddenly the clowns look up, shocked, and slink back into the shadows, and something begins to lower from the ceiling. We see it's a giant clown on marionette strings. It's Clownzilla. So the clown lands kind of on top of the boxes, cuts its strings, and starts coming for the truck. Mike, Debbie, and Dave take off running, telling the Terenzi brothers to come with them, and they refuse because it's a rental. They're like, we can't, it's a rental. Clownzilla bashes the head off the ice cream truck, and then, like, throws it across the room. It lands, skids, and explodes because it's the 80s.
Yep.
So then Clownzilla comes for Dave, Mike, and Debbie. And Dave notices an opening in the wall from the explosion and forces Mike to take Debbie and run for it. He tries to distract the clown, just shooting at him with his handgun. Mike and Debbie escape. The ship starts preparing to leave, like it starts spinning around. And Clownzilla picks up Dave. So then the ship starts to take off into the sky. We see the cops arrive. Mike and Debbie show up or run up to the cops. And as the ship rises into the sky, then we see Clownzilla holding Dave. And Dave he wriggles his hand free, grabs his police badge, and pokes him in the nose. He's just like, touch. The clown's nose explodes. He drops Dave. It starts spinning around, glowing green, and like little sparkle lights. Dave goes running. Clownzilla explodes like the Death Star, causing the ship to explode into fireworks. So there's fireworks everywhere now.
That's a hell of a way to go out.
Right. And then, so all the cops and Mike and Debbie are watching. And suddenly a clown car falls out of the sky and into the parking lot.
I just want to say that the one cop that made me really laugh was the female cop with the really tight perm and those weird glasses. Because she was just like slack-jawed the whole time, like,
Just clutching her shotgun for dear life.
But she just looked so awkward.
She did. Oh, she really did. But the clown car lands in the parking lot. And the cops all train their guns on it. And then the door opens up and Dave climbs out. And then the sunroof opens up and the Terenzi brothers climb out covered in ice cream and glitter. And they explain they survived the explosion by hiding in the freezer with the ice cream. So they had the Indiana Jones defense.
Mm-hmm. And they were both eating Rocket Pops.
Yeah, he was like, anybody want a dipsicle? He's like, you're a dipsicle. And they start arguing. And then glitter starts to rain down on them from the sky. And Debbie asks, do you think it's over? And Mike goes, yeah, sure. And then suddenly they get hit in the face with pies. And then we cue the title music. And I question, I'm like, so did they live? Because those pies are acid pies.
Right. That's what I said, too.
And we get the credits at the end. So now, little comment. Dave was originally supposed to die. Originally, it was just supposed to be the Terenzi brothers in the clown car. But the studio wanted an upbeat ending, so they just basically reshot the clown car scene and had Dave pop out as well. I was like, oh, yeah. All right.
I think they should have let him die.
Should have let him die, hero.
Yep.
I was like, eh, whatever.
After killing the King Koopa clown.
Right. The ending was so throwaway anyway. Like, how did the Terenzis, you know, like, how did they have time to get into the ice cream, like, into the freezer? Like, we see when Clownzilla throws the car, they fall, and then it skids across the floor and immediately explodes. So they would have had, like, a second to think, hey, let's get in the freezer before this thing explodes. You know, it doesn't make any sense. But, yeah, overall, ridiculous movie. I still think it's fun. I love it.
Like, not going to lie, like, watching it critically ruined it. But it's still an amazing movie, like, for what it is. And, like, as long as you go in this, you know, with the mind frame that this movie is going to be utterly ridiculous, it's fantastic. But if you try to make sense of it all, you're fucked.
Oh, yeah. No, you can't make sense of, like, even half of it. Like, it's just utterly ridiculous. The movie was only apparently $2 million. Like, it's not a big budget.
Well, it's worth about $2, but...
I don't know, considering how much money this movie has made over the years, like...
Actually, it's only worth $1, saying I picked it up at the dollar store.
True, I did as well. Yeah, I got the Blu-ray at the dollar store.
Wow. Yeah, so when you can get the Blu-ray at the dollar store, you know it's going to be a good...
I can't argue that because I got some really good deals at the Dollar Tree this year around Halloween. They had a lot of really good movies for a dollar. They had one of my favorite movies for a dollar, Hobo with a Shotgun.
Yeah, I know. You took the last one, you bastard.
It's so good. But yeah, I mean, overall, like we said, it's just silly and ridiculous. But it's a fan favorite. Like, it's one of those movies that, you know, a lot of people seem to love. You know, every kind of convention you go at, you always see, like, Killer Clowns, you know, artwork or memorabilia of some kind. You know, it's one of them films from the 80s that everybody knows, even if they haven't seen it. You know, like, I know a ton of people who have never watched the movie, but know about it. You know, it's one of those films that sticks out in pop culture. So I would definitely say watch it. But so we should probably mention our social medias. We are the Boogeyman's Closet on Facebook and Instagram if you're not following us. And Maurice handles our Twitter. And what is that, good sir?
Yeah, Boogeyman's The.
Thank you very much.
Even though a couple of our last month's entries for some reason didn't post when I posted them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, The Good Son, and what was the last one we did?
They Live.
Oh, for
no,
Evil
for
Kids. Evil Kids.
No, I think that, I can't remember off the top of my head, but yeah, I was looking back, and I was like, what the hell happened? I know I posted them, but...
Huh.
Well, I think you were just too busy drinking wine in the park.
Oh. I was actually looking for nudes of you on Twitter, Matt.
Oh.
They're not on Twitter. They're my OnlyFans.
Yeah.
I can't afford OnlyFans.
It's at pay M.A. LeMay.
Nice. We also have a Patreon. It's the Boogeyman's Closet on Patreon. It's $3 a month for all of our audio content. That's going to guarantee you one exclusive episode every month, possibly more. You know, we haven't had a chance yet to do two, but I'm sure there's going to be a couple months where we're feeling extra chatty. But it will also get you all of these episodes completely unedited, so you get to hear all of the shit that hits the cutting room floor, all of the preamble before the show, all of that. So... If you feel like here and more Boogeyman's, that's how you can get it. $3 more for a bunch of stuff. And anything above that will get you stuff in the mail. So I haven't posted it yet as of the time of this recording, but the April giveaway will be up hopefully by the time this goes live. It should be up in the next few days. So I think that's about it. Thank you, Matt, for coming on and joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, yes. Anytime.
Thanks for being on.
And it's a pleasure.
I've talked to you enough this month, the last year, so.
Well, I haven't talked to you in an entire year anyhow, because quarantine.
Don't forget to let everyone know what we're doing next so they can watch it.
Yeah, I was going to say, our next episode is going to be episode 91, Predator. So the old Arnold Schwarzenegger. Now get to the chopper.
Which I'm really
what does he do?
Really disappointed, people. Really, really, really.
Why?
Because it should be the thing from another world.
Yeah, but to be fair, if it wasn't Predator, it would have been Critters.
I'd rather do Critters.
That was the next. That was the next highest rated. Oh wow, I'm surprised because I feel like Predator. I don't know. I feel like this month we're hitting some of those like ridiculous action sci-fi movies from the 80s.
Well,
because we
are. I just listened to a podcast on Predator, and I'm kind of like, there's not really much to talk about.
No,
there is.
I would say there's not much in the way of story, but
no,
there are a lot of really ridiculous scenes.
True.
So I'm looking forward to that. But Matt, do you want to tell people where they can find your artwork?
I'm on Instagram, and I need to figure out what the name of it actually is under, because I don't remember off the top of my head. I think it's just M_A_LeMay, spelled LEMAY. It is M_A_LeMay on Instagram.
And do you want to give information about your OnlyFans?
I thought you already did.
Yeah.
No, that was my personal OnlyFans. This is the public OnlyFans.
Yeah, and for some reason, Reese just wants me to eat popcorn and cotton candy on that, so I don't understand it.
And with that, we should wrap this one up. So, as always, this is Mike saying goodbye.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed what you heard, follow us on Instagram @TheBoogeyman's Closet, where you can stay up to date with everything we have planned.